At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. About 4.3 million Texans, or 40% of the statewide workforce, do not have paid sick days. That's according to a new paper from the Center for Public Policy Priorities. Mia Ibarra is with the Austin-based group. She points out there are some workers even less likely to get paid sick days.
50% of Hispanic workers lack access, which is incredibly alarming. Considering the state's demographics.
Austin is the first city in Texas to pass a citywide paid sick day ordinance. It's set to take effect in October. In Dallas, there is an effort underway to put a paid sick leave ordinance on the November ballot. Supporters are working to gather nearly 65,000 signatures to get the item before voters. Health officials began a program this week aimed at reducing maternal mortality in Texas. More than 160 hospitals around the state are going to start using a new set of guidelines for treating pregnant women who are at risk for hemorrhage, hypertension, and opioid abuse. In Austin, KUT's Ashley Lopez has more.
In Austin this week, hospital leaders met about what the state is calling the Texas AIM initiative. Basically, state health officials are getting hospitals to use these protocols referred to as safety bundles. The idea is to standardize across the state how doctors deal with pregnant women who are at risk of common complications that have led to maternal deaths in the state.
Our goal is to have as many hospitals participate that want to participate.
That's Dr. Amanda Hall with the Texas Department of State Health Services. She says so far, 168 hospitals have joined. That's out of the 242 hospitals in Texas that offer maternity services.
We know that there is an opportunity here to really make a difference here in Texas as it relates to maternal mortality and severe maternal morbidity. So we're very happy to see the number of hospitals that are here today and participating.
Part of the goal of this meeting is for hospitals to discuss how they plan to actually implement these protocols and what it would look like in their own hospitals.
And what it looks like in one hospital may look different in another hospital, and that's okay.
That's especially true because some hospitals have already been using these safety bundles. For example, John Harkin says these are already part of his routine. He teaches at UT Austin's Dell Medical School and has a practice with Seton Hospitals.
We didn't wait for Texas AIM to come along. We've had these because it's evidence-based, and being an academic teaching center, we were able to get these up and running. I'm going to tell you, as from my own experience, these things work great. They save lives.
And here's why. Harkin says a lot of what doctors do is repetitive, and these safety bundles create yet another routine, and this one is backed by science.
Physicians at times are loath to adopt standardization, and you hear things like that, you know, well, you know, each patient, and you have to treat it like an art, and they're all different and that kind of stuff. But in certain things, it's not an art. It is a science.
And he says there are examples out there in the world of strict routines being safer.
Airline pilots go through the exact same protocols and checklists every single time they land a plane. Doesn't matter where they're landing, doesn't matter who's in the driver's seat and who's the co-pilot. They do the exact same thing every time because they know that that is the safest way to get things done.
Texas health officials also say there's evidence that creating protocols in hospitals has curbed maternal deaths in other states. For instance, one of the big drivers behind California's effort to drive down maternal mortality rates was using new protocols in hospitals. And in just 4 years, California cut its rate by half. In Austin, I'm Ashley Lopez.
LSD enthusiast Timothy Leary was the ideal bad guy for President Richard Nixon in 1971. Nixon deemed Leary the most dangerous man in America. Today on Think, author Bill Minitaglio talked with Chris Boyd about discovering Nixon's motives for going after Leary.
Nixon, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Treasury Secretary John Connally, our former governor, of course, in Texas, began shouting out, almost chanting the name Leary, 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 Timothy Leary, Timothy Leary, and Connally was saying, our plan should be to demonize someone to kind of divert attention away from all these problems you're experiencing. And if we can get the American people focused on a bad guy, and you can get that bad guy and put him away, then you'll be a hero and people will forget all these other things. And Nixon, you could just feel his enthusiasm and probably a smile crossing his face because he shouts out, "We've got room in the prisons for Leary." And thus it began.
Bill Minitaglio's new book is called The Most Dangerous Man in America. You can listen to the Think podcast at think.kera.org. On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, a lawsuit brewing in West Dallas where dozens of former renters purchased homes last year. Those are these low-cost rental properties owned by HMK Limited. It racked up numerous code violations and were slated for closure after the city of Dallas tightened housing standards. HMK sold many of those homes to tenants. Now, a lawsuit filed in federal court by two of the homeowners allege the mortgage contracts are predatory. Courtney Collins has more.
Many of the people who'd rented homes from HMK Limited, mostly in West Dallas, were paying as little as $300 to $500 a month. When new housing standards took effect in 2016, it looked like the rental business would close, and about half the tenants moved. The other half couldn't figure out where to go and stayed put until the last minute. When HMK co-owner Krish Krish offered to make more than 100 remaining tenants homeowners this time last year, many jumped at the chance.
I'm just here to make families happy in a home in West Dallas.
And Krish says he thought they all were. To his knowledge, nobody has fallen behind on their mortgage payments. No one has been foreclosed on. He says he hadn't heard an unhappy word until a lawsuit was filed against him in federal court by two of the new homeowners, Roberto Barahona and Julian Campos. One of their attorneys is Stephanie Champion with Legal Aid of Northwest Texas.
He received absolutely no explanation of the terms that were unfavorable to him. Terms such as the snatchback clause, which allows the lender to call 100% of the loan at any time and for any reason.
Champion says neither of the men speak or read English. The language in the contract they signed does enable the lender to call for the remaining amount due on the principal, no matter the status of the loan. Krish says, as far as he knows, that's boilerplate for the type of contracts he purchased. He hired the Arlington-based loan document preparation provider, Pearson Patterson, to draw them up.
Though there may be language in here, I haven't exercised that option, and I had no intention of exercising that option.
The legal aid attorneys say that doesn't make them feel better. If the mortgage is ever sold to another lender, that language will still be in the contract. I checked with the Dallas chapter of the National Association of Minority Mortgage Bankers, and these clauses aren't used in qualified mortgages by big banks like Chase or Wells Fargo. They can show up in seller finance deals, like the HMK mortgages. Again, attorney Stephanie Champion.
Even if our clients had paid off 90% of the loan and spent time and money into making necessary repairs on their homes, they still have absolutely no security in their home.
Attorneys say neither of their clients were given a thorough review of the contract before they were induced to sign. They claim many provisions weren't translated at all. Krish Krish takes issue with that.
Any notion that Mr. Campos or Mr. Barahona weren't made aware of what the document suggested is false. Everything was absolutely translated to them. And again, the process took four meetings over a two-week period.
The lawsuit zeroes in on other parts of the contract, too. While the interest rate is listed at 4.75%, it can jump as high as 18% if the borrower defaults. Legal aid says what constitutes a default isn't defined in the contract and wasn't explained to either client. A right to inspection was also waived.
The other option was eviction. The other option was homelessness. So yes, our clients, under the threat of eviction, were induced to sign these predatory contracts because they had no other option.
Krish agrees that his low-income tenants turned homeowners had no other option, but disagrees that these deals are predatory.
I stand behind everything we've done, and I'm very proud of what we've done, and we're going to continue doing much more of it.
Stephanie Champion doesn't want to rip her clients out of their homes. She thinks there's a way to make this work for everyone.
I think that there is a good deal to be had here. All we need to do is amend these contracts in order to make sure that our clients have true ownership of their homes.
Which, for many of these West Dallas families, is all they've really ever wanted. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
And a programming note, tonight we'll carry NPR special coverage of today's primary elections in eight states. Coverage starts in about 90 minutes. That's at 8 o'clock here on KERA, and it's streaming online at kera.org. Mostly clear skies in store for us later this evening with a low around 76. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high around 95. At 6:30, this is KERA News.